Welcome to SMBFP, that's Smoke My Big Fat Podcast, a division of SMBFC.net, currently under redesign. You're talking to Sal?
And Tim.
Actually, you're not really talking to us. You're more like listening to us. I'm talking to Sam.
Yes, that's correct.
And you're talking to me. I am the man! If I were played by Ralph Macchio, the song You're the Best would be playing right now. Because I am the best around.
Well, I'm not going to sing that.
That's fine. And you don't have to record it, because I've got it.
Oh, great. I wasn't going to.
Well, that's good to hear. Ugh. So how's it going?
It's going alright.
Yeah. I'm kind of sick, so I'm kind of like...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Sorry. I had the day off.
Yeah, you said. Was it Columbus Day?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, this past weekend, I did go on something of an adventure.
Oh, well, do tell.
Well, me and some people went up to Pennsylvania to see some particular sites.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, we went to a town called Centralia, and Centralia has had a coal fire burning under it since 1962.
May I just say really quick that Centralia sounds like you needed to ride a luck dragon to get there. Yeah, I've heard about this. They had, like, a fire in the coal mines, and it just never stopped. And then they, like, closed the place. Like, the whole damn town.
Yeah.
There's, like, pictures of it and shit. You can see, like, smoke coming out from the roads and shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, what happened was they had all these big, deep pit mines. And someone said, you know, hey, you know, it would be a great idea. We can kill two birds with one stone with these big open pit mines. And we can use them as landfills, and then cover them up and make them all pretty again. And they start doing this back in the 60s, and then they're like, well, wait a minute, we don't have any way to compact the garbage after we put it in there so that we can put more garbage on top, and
right.
So that it's not like just a loose mound of garbage that nothing will stick to.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, okay, not a problem, and they set the garbage on fire for 2 days.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
To burn it down. And so they could put more garbage on top of it. And, you know, the fire people come out and set the garbage on fire for 2 days and then put it out, and everything's fine. They put more shit on top of it, and, you know, they make the landfill.
Yeah.
What they don't know is that underneath, they have ignited a seam of coal under the ground.
Right. So there's
and
just,
like,
yeah.
2 years later, people in the town are saying things like, you know, it's really unusually warm in my basement.
Right.
And I occasionally see steam coming up out of the ground. So the government said, well, our bad. We set the very ground beneath you on fire.
Right.
Oops. So what we're going to do is we're going to pay for your land and your relocation.
Yeah.
And then we can dig up the burning material and set it aside so that it doesn't keep burning for, like, you know, 200,000 years or something insane like that. But there are still, like, 7 or 8 people there who refuse to move.
Yeah, I heard about that too, that there are just these fucking people who are just like, no, this is my land, I'm not going to have the government send me, like... You know, your house is going to be, like, melting pretty soon. I don't know if you're familiar with how this works. But then again, being that you're from... What was it? Crestasia?
Cretralia.
Yeah, Cretralia, Pennsylvania. You probably don't comprehend quite a bit.
Ironically, right next to Ashland, Pennsylvania.
Yes! That's why I remember it so vividly.
And one of the really weird juxtapositions of this place is that you're down in this valley which has been evacuated from being a coal mine fire town.
Yeah.
And it has wind turbines up on the ridge above it.
Hmm.
So they have a fucking wind farm.
Oh.
Going on there. And it's an old coal mining town, which is the exact opposite of one another in terms of energy conservation and things like that. And
nice.
This really talkative fellow from Long Island appeared while we were walking around.
From Long Island, you say,
chatted
talkative.
Chatted with us about it for a very long time.
And that's where you got your story.
A little bit. Also, the mine tour we took in Ashland explained a lot to us.
Oh, okay. So you guys, like, fucking, like,
and
drove
the guy
up
doing the mine tour, though he didn't say so, really suggested with his tone that he thought the people remaining in Centralia were idiots.
No kidding, idiots.
Oh yeah, big fucking idiots.
I thought you were going to go another direction where he's like, he didn't say it, but he implied with his tone that the people of Centralia who've remained behind are in fact national heroes.
No.
Sometimes I despair of the species.
Oh, speaking of things relating to the species, I guess that's actually kind of a crappy transition.
Yeah, good segue.
It is. Oh, the other place we saw in Pennsylvania. We heard a story from a friend of ours several years ago about a church in Pennsylvania called Egg Hill. And Egg Hill is supposedly a place where a preacher went insane and, like, killed his congregation with an axe and then hung himself out on the outside.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then, several years later, some students from Penn State went up there and, in sort of a frat hazing kind of a situation, They locked one guy in the church. Because, you know, it's haunted and fucked up and...
Yeah, the ghosts will give him a good creepy scare.
And, of course, he, inside the church, went insane with fear and died.
I thought you were going to go another direction where it's like they opened the door and he was murdered with an axe. Like, no, he just scared himself to death.
Yes.
that concept blows my mind. The idea of someone being so frightened that they die. Like, that their body's like, fuck it, I quit. No, I'm so scared. No, I don't want to do it. No way. I'm not even... Fuck that. I'm too scared. That's... No, die. No, shut down. I would rather not go on living than be scared for another instant.
Okay, looking at the church, it seems to me like this story about a preacher killing his congregation inside, that's bogus. That's something the college kids made up.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, you know, it's a big... One guy can't kill like a dozen people in this building. There are windows to escape out of, and there's more than one door, and just, like, people would tackle him. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, unless he fashioned a crude mask out of flesh, and, of course, upon doing so and arming oneself with a sharp metal object, one can gain superhuman strength and endurance, and as... you know, American cinema has conveyed to us.
Well, yes.
I assume that since he went the preacher route, he just killed a few people and died. If that even happened at all.
Yeah.
But you were contesting that.
What is more likely is that this is a story that some frat kids made up to scare this poor freshman kid before locking them in this old building.
Yeah.
And this kid's imagination, you know, gave him a heart attack.
Do they have any, like, pictures to go along with these stories? Like, I imagine... this kid's gotta be, like, 400 pounds.
No, there are no pictures. The weird thing is that, okay, so we drive, like, fucking 3 hours through the backwoods of Pennsylvania, incurring a speeding ticket upon Jason.
Oh, yeah.
To get to this place. And then as soon as we pull up, it's like, you know, a very old wooden church with a wire fence around it.
Mm-hmm.
And right just a little ways down the road is somebody's giant, like some giant rich person's house.
Okay.
And their garage door faces the road that you drive up toward the church.
Mm-hmm.
So we pull up and I'm looking out the window and there's a guy in the doorway looking at us.
Of course.
As soon as we pull up, I'm like, fuck, we're busted.
Right, like this, and this dude, of course, is like waiting for people to come up. He's like, oh man, they're gonna look at the church, and I'm gonna be ready.
Apparently, and like, you know, so, you know, I'm just like, dude, we've been spotted. Like, we gotta go.
we've driven all the way fucking from Virginia to Pennsylvania, to see this place. We are now here, and we have been made. So let's turn around and go.
And so, okay, two cars have just pulled up to this church. Stopped for a moment, and then turn around and leave. And then, halfway down the hill, Jason's like, wait, no, I don't want to give up this easily. Like, we drove fucking hours to get to this place, and I'm at least going to get some pictures.
Yeah.
So, we came up with the plan that we would just go up to the guy's door, you know, knock, introduce ourselves, and be like, hey, we're just here to take some pictures. And if you have a problem with us being around your property, you know, we'll go. We'll skid out. It's cool.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
And the dude he was pretty cool about it, but he gave us this story that said, don't go into the church, it's private property, and the authorities have barred it up because they're afraid of people doing drug deals there.
Huh.
And this is, out in the country, on top of, this hill, right next to a rich person's home. I am really suspicious of the idea that drug deals go on anywhere near this place.
Right. And, if he wants to deter them, he could always just tell them the story, and they might kill themselves.
They might.
Or, or succumb to their own fear. So you associate with some comic guys. Has Jason given you any glowing reviews of anything going on lately? Has he been like, no. Dude, avoid this shit?
No, Jason hasn't talked about anything cool going on in comics recently. I think he was talking some shit about comics, but I can't remember exactly what he was talking about.
Well, has he picked up the new issues of All-Star Batman and Robin, for example?
He must have.
Because this shit is genius.
Yeah?
Oh, man, I've got it right in front of me, actually. Jim Lee's art is awesome. Like, okay. It's just incredible. Because you get, like, 4 pages of just shadowy, caught-by-the-pier Jim Gordon action going on.
Huh.
But then it's all ruined because Batman shows up. And it's not, of course, it's not like Paul Dini's Batman or even Grant Morrison's Batman. This is the goddamn Batman, so.
Of course it is.
We got Frank Miller going on. And it is just, I don't even know how to just, I don't even know where it's going. Like, when last we left our hero, the Joker, remember when do you remember reading the Joker when he appeared in this book? And, like, he doesn't smile and he, like, has sex with congresswomen and, like, then murders them and you're kind of like, how does this man who looks like a clown manage to bag women who were drawn by Jim Lee? But he does it all the same, and then he strangles her to death, and then he runs into Catwoman, and he's all, let's go have a team up, and she's like, right on. Well, in this book, that was like 2 or 3 issues ago, which means that issue came out like 6 or 7 years ago. So, like, in this, we finally get back to that plot, and Catwoman is, like, beaten to shit and all shredded up, and she's bleeding, and she needs Batman, and she leaves Jim Gordon this note that says, the first time. So, Batman finds her.
Wait, the entirety of her note is the first time.
Yes, and with that he finds her, because he's a detective.
It is an adjectival phrase.
Yes.
It's not even a complete sentence.
Well, she was, groggy and beaten, so she couldn't really form complete sentences.
But wouldn't her message be a verb?
Well, she had to write it in her own blood, Sam.
So, that's just annoying and stupid.
Oh no, because do you know why Batman finds her without any trouble?
I don't know why, and I don't care, but I know you're going to tell me.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not just going to tell you. I'm going to perform it as Batman.
Oh boy.
In his internal monologue, written by Frank Miller.
Oh god.
And it's, don't worry, it goes on. Alright, in this scene, it's a full page spread where Selina's broken and bleeding, and Batman is cradling her the way only a lover can. And Selina's desperately trying to tell Batman that it was the Joker who performed this miserable act on her. Batman knows, because he's the goddamn Batman.
Why would she bother telling him that? Like, he's obviously going to find out.
Well, she wants to make it a little easier for him.
Alright.
I'm not gonna do the Batman voice, I'm just gonna read it for you. And, by the way, the pauses in my sentences are, in fact, they designate periods. Frank Miller likes to write in sentence fragments, so don't be put off away if I read it that way. Selina, the first time, her note said. Of course I knew what it meant, and where. Our first time. Here, in my first Batcave. Here, where I lived on rats and proved that I didn't need Wayne's billions. We made a mess of things, Selina and I did, that night. A sweaty, dirty, glorious mess. Indeed. When this book is collected and finished, I think they'll just quote the last part of this thought. And it'll just say, Frank Miller made a mess of things. A sweaty, dirty, glorious mess. It's genius.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Well, Sam, it describes concretely that Batman and Catwoman did, in fact, have sex. And
who cares?
And it demonstrates irrefutably that Batman did in fact eat rats.
Ugh.
Which is a very important character note.
His first Bat game? First? Like he's had more than one?
Yeah, this one. And it looks like it's basically just in a sewer. Which means she's probably got all kinds of diseases.
Ugh.
It's incredible. And then, of course, we meet Batgirl. And this is the one. This is the issue that was kind of controversial because the first issue they put out, the first version of this issue, this was All-Star Batman and Robin number 10. The first issue has like 3 or 4 pages just littered with the word cunt, just thrown out like candy on Halloween. So what they did was DC printed the words, but then they printed censor bars over the words, which is retarded because why wouldn't they just put in like symbols like they do for all comic books? But anyway, in the first printing, the censor bars were still visible, so they could read the words through the bar. So basically, we were just like little boxes around the terrible word that they wanted
So it wasn't so much censored as it was highlighted.
Yes, a highlighter, exactly. And so they pulled the books that they could from retail outlets, and they ordered the retail outlets that did get the books to destroy them.
Which none of them did.
No, they sold them on eBay for like $400.
Of course.
Because
you tell some poor comic book store running schmo to destroy something, he's not going to immediately think, well, this is going to be a collector's item in 48 hours.
Exactly. In less than 48 hours. And it's like, they use the word cunt in like every possible, in ways that you couldn't. And by couldn't, I mean like one would not dare. I mean like in ways that are just not possible in our universe. Fortunately, yeah, for Frank Miller, he has his own that he can play in. This book, actually, it's chock full of info because it also irrefutably demonstrates that the Black Canary is a raging lesbian.
Except when she made out with Batman on a pier, right?
Well, you see, the way I look at it, and I'm sure the way that Frank Miller probably actually believes it, is that Batman's masculinity is so overpowering. It's almost like that's his superpower. You know, he's so much of a man that even though he is in the proximity of a lesbian, he has the ability to switch her back over to, quote-unquote, the right side.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like masterfucking.
So, let me explain something to you. It is not anything like masterfucking.
I have to imagine few things are. So, All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder number 10 is equal.
They're really up to 10?
Yeah, and it's only been like 25 years. It's really quite extraordinary. Jim Lee's art, by the way, is still incredible, but I feel so bad that he has to draw such ludicrousy. And it's not even like,
I wonder what he feels about it. Like, I really have to wonder if Jim Lee, like, is just waiting for the script for Batman and All-Star, like, is dreading it like you dread getting a root canal or something.
Yeah, he's just like, oh god, I gotta draw this crazy rambling shit. All he really needs to do, though, like, is, like, for, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's like 7 pages where it's literally just different poses for Batman and Robin posters. So, like, with Frank Miller ridiculousness splintered throughout, like, wet sounds, marrow deep cold, used smells. They're all wiped out with a roar and a shudder and a blast of soot and dirt and coughed up coal dust that lets you know how old-time miners felt in their last choking, dizzying, living instant. The air crackles and sparks, and 50-year-old metal screams as a juggernaut they call a local reminds the rats and worms and beetles and termites that our invasion never ends. What?
Miller needs to stop talking about things that he has absolutely no understanding of.
This is like, I've never seen so much nothing between words. Like, I don't think I'm actually capable of being able to say nothing with language. But otherwise, you know, Secret Invasion's still trucking along.
Still rolling, huh?
Still rolling. It's got, like, 2 more issues left, and get this, Sam. It promises that the Marvel Universe will never be the same.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I've never heard that before.
Well, embrace change, my friend. Ultimate Origins, we're up to number 4, and that book is excellent. Like, excellent art. Bendis is at his best because he's actually writing for, like, human beings that don't, you know, do ridiculous things besides the ordinary. You know, like, you got characters like Nick Fury and Thunderbolt Ross and Peter Parker's dad and Dr. Banner. Like, you have people doing things. Like, it's interesting. They're interacting and they're talking about, like, the Super Soldier Serum and shit like that. It's really quite interesting. It's actually, like, they're really building something with this, and I'm interested to see what's happening next. Unlike Secret Invasion, where I'm kind of like, well, this will be the last Marvel book I'll be buying, Ultimate Origins is kind of like, well, I'm looking forward to reading the next book.
Jason was telling me about a book almost a year ago, probably now, and I think it got canceled, but he said it was, like, the best book that he's read in years.
What book?
And it was a book called Crossing Midnight. I don't know if you'll be able to find this book, and I don't know if you want to, but I think if you get the chance, you should check it out, because he talked about it like it was the best thing ever.
Well, I think it's actually a Vertigo book.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's like, it's Japanese in origin, I believe, and it's written by somebody like Mike Carey. Apparently it's still going on, I think. Because, yeah, I mean, I've seen it in the stores. It's kind of neat. Like, it's more inspired by Japanese lore rather than actually being written by or interpreting, you know, Japanese culture. It's,
well, yeah, I think it's a very much like Sandman in that way.
Oh, cool.
Where it kind of takes things from folklore and mythology, but is adapting them to modern times.
Yeah, I think the last issue actually came out in July, but they call it an ongoing series, so.
Well, maybe somebody will pick it up.
I hope so.
It's just supposed to be really good. That's what I heard.
That's cool. Yeah, I would definitely have to check that out.
I have been reading from borrowing from Jason, Transmetropolitan.
Oh, yes, Transmetropolitan.
Which is a sometimes funny and very cynical and angry book.
So it's basically like it was written by Garth Ennis.
Not as funny as Garth Ennis usually is.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's,
and honestly, not as, like, depraved.
Oh, no?
No. Fairly close sometimes, but most of the time not.
Yeah. Warren Ellis is actually really talented. I gotta give him credit.
He is. Warren Ellis is good.
Yeah. Actually, what was it? I think Garth Ennis just put out a book about zombies, of course, because, God, you can't get enough of those things.
Yeah, we really need more zombies.
But this one, apparently, they're not, like, regular zombies. I think they acerate people.
What?
Yeah.
God damn it, Garth Ennis.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I hear The Boys is excellent.
I hear the movie's coming up soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, I remember Dave and Jason talking about the movie. They were suspicious that there's no way that they could turn that book into a movie.
No, I've read The Boys, and, you know, of course they're not done yet, but, like, there is no damn way that they can... If Zach and Miri Make a Porno got an NC-17 rating, then there is no way that The Boys is going to get anything other than, like, they have to go back to, like, XXX.
Ow.
This is the book that, like, Ennis was quoted in saying, like, he wants to out-preacher. And that's all we got here for Comixation. So, once again, I'm Sal.
I'm Sam.
And thanks for listening.
Have a good night.
I could hear your knee slap.
Is that a problem?
No, it was just hilarious.
Okay.
Because you're like, all right. Like, what was that? Oh, I was just slapping my girlfriend. Don't worry about me. Making friends and influencing people.
Hey, I nearly killed a kitten while you were doing this thing.
Did you really?
I was about to.
How was your... How did you manage that?
Well, the cat was on my chair and swiping at me with its claws.
Of course.
And I really grabbed it by the throat and threw it in the wall. But I didn't.
Oh, you were going to.
I'm growing as a human being.
This cat certainly is teaching you some new things.
It certainly is.
What's its name again?
Bogey.
Oh, okay. That was my girlfriend's cat's name.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, named after Humphrey Bogart.
Oh. This is more named after the mythological creature.
Which is?
You didn't know that there was such a creature, did you? That's okay. Also named after, you know, like
when you are a jet fighter and there is a bogey.
On your left, yeah.
Yes. So it is an unexpected monster and force of mischief and destruction.
It is also one stroke over par.
Yes, that is also correct.
So what? All right, tell me what the mythological creature is before I go to get dinner.
A bogey was just a little sort of mischievous, imp-like fairy creature that would, you know, trick people and lead them into bogs to drown and things like that.
Oh.
Yes.
See if I can whip one up on Wikipedia here.
Okay.
Yes, in Wikipedia's entry has a bogey, a slang word for dried, solid, or semi-solid nasal mucus, also known as a booger, a soapbox car from Northwest England in the 50s and 60s,
okay.
Humphrey Bogart, the American actor, the brevity code, a radar or visual air contact whose identity is unknown, my one over par, golf reference, they also have the bogeyman, also known as boogeyman, boogeyman, or Bodgeman, a legendary ghost-like monster with no specific appearance. And they also have a boggart, which is a household spirit which causes things to disappear, milk to go sour, and dogs to go lame. And
and dogs to go lame?
Apparently the boggart is a douchebag who likes to fuck with your milk, take things away from you, and mess with your dog. And in another stretch, we have the hobgoblin, which is a friendly or amusing goblin.
Really?
Yes.
It's been my experience that a hobgoblin has never been described as being friendly or amusing.
I know that
especially in reference to a particular movie called Hobgoblins.
Those things are neither amusing nor in any way tasteful. Hobgoblins, thank you for reminding me of the movie Hobgoblins.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Ugh. That was a good episode.
Yeah, it was. So, I've got an internal debate.
All right, go
now, which is whether or not to go to Aikido again today.
Have you been going before?
I just went once before to check it out, and it was okay. But I kind of went on the wrong night. I went on the night with more advanced students.
Oh, okay.
Even though it was designated on their calendar as the basic Aikido night. And they said, you know, the beginner's classes are on Mondays and Fridays. It is, I don't know, I'm just not, I don't really feel like going.
Well,
but maybe I should go.
Well, if you don't go, do they charge you?
No.
Well, fuck them.
No, I haven't paid them anything yet.
Oh, well then, yeah, don't go.
All right.
What would you do instead?
I would probably finish up some emails and go over to the guy's house where my brother is cooking dinner.
Oh. Yeah, fucking go there.
I think I will.
Yeah. And with that, we have concluded our evening.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you again.
Take care.
Later.
Bye. And thus concludeth Episode 1 of SMBFP. Thanks a lot for listening, and be sure to email us at smbfc.net. That's smokemybigfatcock.net@gmail.com. Thanks a lot.